Well, good morning. And welcome to Mercersburg Mennonite Church. And welcome as well to those that are watching via live stream or those that will be watching at a later time. It is always my privilege when I have the opportunity to give the Lord's message. It is my privilege to be up here to just lay what the Lord has brought to my heart throughout this last week. This morning, we will continue working through the sermon series titled A Prophet's Point of View. This is an opportunity to hear from the prophet's perspective in the period of time leading into the exile of the people of Judah into Babylon, as well as the period of time after the people were given permission to return to Jerusalem and the beginning of the rebuild. I want to state, as others have throughout this series, that I'm going to do my best to stick to Scripture while also attempting to get into the mind of Haggai to present in a way that can bring more clarity to what those were experiencing as they walked through this journey. The first part of the message will be on some history of the exile in Babylon, and the rest of the message is on the direct experience and messages that were given through Haggai. On a side note, you may notice that I'm wearing sandals this morning, or at least my attempt at sandals. This is not a fashion statement, as I'm not typically one to wear sandals. Actually, when I told my wife, Debbie, that I'd be wearing sandals this morning, she just laughed, because it is so unfamiliar for me to wear sandals. But undoubtedly, this would have been a part of the attire worn by Haggai. So I thought it was fitting to wear them this morning. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time that we have together, the opportunity to come and worship you as a body of believers. Lord, I pray that as we go forward throughout the rest of this message, Lord, that your spirit will be felt. I pray that the only words shared this morning were truly words from you, just spoken through me. Lord, I just pray that you will open our eyes, open our hearts to what you have to share to each one of us today. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hello. My name is Haggai, and I am a prophet of the Lord, called to prophesy to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. There's not so much known about me in regards to my family line or exactly where I descended from. What I felt necessary to share were the messages that the Lord gave me. I understand you have heard from Isaiah, Habakkuk, and Jeremiah. These were all great men who prophesied before my time of prophecy. Much of what they have shared has been heavy, as they were called to speak on behalf of God to a rebellious nation. Much of what they shared was a calling to encourage the nation back to the will of God and to leave the meaningless gods and idols that they were following. This was heavy as the people continued to reject much of what these prophets shared. The people continued chasing after their own ideas instead of following after the calling of the one whom created them. This often started with those in power. Since the split of the northern tribes of Israel in the kingdom of Judah, there were 20 different kings in the kingdom of Judah, including one of which that was a queen. Throughout this time, there was a back and forth between those that were following after God and those that rejected God. We had periods of time when the people did what was right, but there seemed to be this consistent pull away from God. It brings to question, why did the people continue to fall back into their sinful ways even when they would see the blessings and provisions of God while they were walking with him? This question, however, reminds me of the words of King Solomon. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. We experience the reality of this as we reflect on our nation falling into old patterns of sin. The release from exile in Egypt is well known by our people and repeated through the generations. And when we look at what happened then, our ancestors fell away from the one true God as well, regardless of how faithful he was to his word. I fear that this will be a struggle for future generations to come as well. Another part of the prophecies given by the prophets mentioned was to warn the people of what was to come if they did not return to the Lord. As God always is, he was true to his word, and our people were handed over to King Nebuchadnezzar and exiled to Babylon as they refused to heed to the warnings that were given. During this time, King Nebuchadnezzar took all the articles of precious metals that were used in the temple, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, and burned the palaces and the temple of God. Our temple of the Lord, built during the time of King Solomon, was gone. You can imagine the hopelessness felt by our people as they experienced the total destruction of everything of value before being deported to Babylon. The exile of our people lasted 70 years in Babylon. There was, however, hope for those that trusted in the promises given by the Lord. And hope is what I want to spend time talking on now. Even with the promise of destruction and exile that was fulfilled, God gave a promise to eventually rescue his people again. God showed off his power by sharing through Isaiah not only that there would be restoration for Jerusalem, but the name of the one in which he would accomplish this through. It's the words that Isaiah shared from the Lord. When I say of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he will certainly do as I say. He will command, rebuild Jerusalem. He will say, restore the temple. This Cyrus that was prophesied is none other than King Cyrus of Persia, who conquered Babylon, yet was born over a century after this prophecy was written. When I say God was showing off his power, I don't mean this in a way of gloating, but in a way that is so specific, so undeniable that God is in control and that his promises will be fulfilled. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, this proclamation was sent out. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judah to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you. Wherever this Jewish remnant is found, let their neighbors contribute toward their expenses by giving them silver and gold, supplies for the journey, livestock, as well as voluntary offering for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Cyrus went as far as to ensure that the articles that had been taken from the temple of God from King Nebuchadnezzar were returned to Judah to go back into the temple that was to be rebuilt. God held to his promises. Many of the exiles returned home, and some stayed behind. Those that returned rebuilt the altar of God and started rebuilding the temple. This didn't go without challenge, and there was a pause on the construction of the Lord's temple that lasted about 15 years. This is where my writings begin. Over the course of about 4 months, the Lord gave me messages that I needed to share. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave me a message to share to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying, The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. It's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and ruin everything you have worked so hard for. This message was clear. The calling when we left captivity was to rebuild the Lord's temple. As this was started and met with challenge, our people simply left the building of the temple at the foundation. People started to focus on building their own houses and leaving the most important house, the Lord's house, unfinished. This was an example yet again of our people's selfish hearts thinking about what they can do for themselves instead of honoring God. And because of this lack of obedience, God was working against us. Not only was the delay in rebuilding the temple an issue because of disobedience, but there's such great significance to the temple. This was a place that the priests would go before God for the people, sacrificing for the people's sins and giving praise to God. The temple is a central place of worship. And we know that even after the completion of the first temple, that God held it dear in his heart. God does not desire a difficult life for us, but for obedience and to draw us closer to him. I did not know how the leaders would respond to this message. I mean, after all, we could see how hard-hearted the people were when the Lord spoke through other prophets like Jeremiah. However, following this message that I shared to Zerubbabel and Jeshua, I was grateful that they obeyed the message that was given. The people feared the Lord and set out to honor his calling to rebuild the temple. The Lord provided me with another brief message that sparked enthusiasm for all the people. It was simple, yet moving. I am with you, says the Lord. God is still with us, even with our lack of focus and the delay in building his temple. God did not forget about us. So construction, once again, was underway to the Lord's temple, starting on September 21st of the second year of King Darius's reign, just under a month from the first message that God gave me to deliver. As you can imagine, this was hard work. This would have been a great time for the strength of Samson, at least before his hair was cut. But this was an exciting time to see the work of the Lord being continued. About a month into the work, I received another message from the Lord on October 17th. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Does anyone remember this house, this temple in its former splendor? How, in comparison, does it look now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised you when you left Egypt. So do not be afraid, for this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought into the temple. I will fill this place with glory, said the Lord of heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Wow, what an encouragement for our people. The Lord knows how everyone is feeling at this point. Even with the beginning of the foundation construction that took place before the delay, those who saw the former temple wept at the sight of the new construction because of what had been lost. The Lord also recognized all the splendor of what the former temple had been, but that there was something even greater in store. God promised to continue to be with us, and even though we no longer had all the splendor of the temple that Solomon built, that God would provide. The words of the future glory of this temple being greater than its past glory, and this becoming a place of peace is beyond exciting. Who knows? Maybe this even has something to do with the Messiah that has been promised. 2 more months of construction went by, and we came to December 18th, the day the Lord provided me with 2 final messages that I shared. The first message was this. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Ask the priests this question about the law. If one of you is carrying some meat from a holy sacrifice in his robes, and his robe happens to brush against some bread or stew, wine or olive oil, or any other kind of food, will it also become holy? The priest responded by saying no. Then if someone becomes ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person and then touches any of these foods, will the food be defiled? To this question, the priests answered correctly, yes. That is how it is with the people in this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by their sin. Look at what was happening to you before you began to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple. When you hoped for a 20-bushel crop, you harvested only 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine press, you found only 20. I sent blight and mildew and hail to destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Even so, you refuse to return to me, says the Lord. Think about this 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Think carefully. I am giving you a promise now while the seed is still in the barn. You have not yet harvested your grain and your grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced their crops. But from this day onward, I will bless you. What a stark contrast from God working against us in a period of disobedience to a promise of blessing as we are doing his will and living out what he's called us to. I will reiterate that God never desired bad for us, but used the hardships to draw us to come closer to him. His desire is to shower us with blessings, and he promised this in his message. The second message that God provided me brought more encouragement. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I am about to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow royal thrones and destroy the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overturn their chariots and riders. The horses will fall, and their riders will kill each other. But when this happens, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will honor you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. I will make you like a signet ring on my finger, says the Lord, for I have chosen you. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. Even as we look at our small nation here in Judah, a fraction of what we used to be, God promised to fight for us, and that the power of foreign kingdoms is nothing to the power of our God. Such special messages that the Lord gave me. We have been through a period of trial for many years, and we can see hope ahead with the promises of our God. As I continue to age, I do not know that I will see the completion of the Lord's temple. I do pray that my friend and contemporary, Zechariah, will be able to encourage the people to see the construction through. Yet, I find peace and hope in the promises that God has given. I do believe that the temple will once again stand in completion, and that the Lord will continue to work in and bless his people. As I've shared with you today, God has and will hold true to his word every time. My prayer for myself, God's people, and all the future generations is that we may always hold tightly to God's promises of hope, peace, and provision. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come together and hear your word. Lord, as I prepared for this and had different ideas come to mind, I pray that anything that was of me was already forgotten. But I pray that your word, your truth, will work through our lives, Lord. I pray that as we go forward, that this wasn't just an interesting time of hearing from a prophet's perspective, but that we will understand the significance of what it meant then, what it means today, and what it means for the future. Lord, your promises always hold true, and we can find hope, peace, joy in that. I pray that for each person that is here, for each person that's watching on live stream or watching at another time. Lord, I pray that as we go forward, that we will allow your word to shape us, that we will allow your word and your spirit to move us, and that we will honor you in all things. We pray everything in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you all for your attention here this morning, and we will finish A Prophet's Point of View with Isaiah next week. You're dismissed.